Welcome to Getting Legal With It, a podcast by Colorado Young Lawyers for Colorado Young Lawyers. I'm your host, Kevin Chaney. For those of you who are listening for the first time, which today is going to be everybody since this is our first episode, I'm a personal injury and criminal defense attorney here in Denver, Colorado. I graduated from the University of Colorado Law School in 2014 and founded my practice, Chaney, Galuzzi & Howard, LLC, a short time later. I'm a member of the Colorado Trial Lawyers Association, where I serve as the co-chair of its new lawyers division, and I also serve on CTLA's executive and legislative committees. I'm also a member of the Colorado Criminal Defense Bar Association, and finally, I serve on the executive council for the Colorado Bar Association's Young Lawyers Division. If you're interested in learning more about any of these wonderful organizations, please feel free to shoot me an email at kevin@cghlawfirm.com. Well, today is our very first episode of Getting Legal With It. The podcast is created and sponsored by the Colorado Bar Association's Young Lawyers Division. Our goal with this podcast is to bring you monthly episodes with information that will be both fun and informative for young lawyers. We have some awesome guests lined up, and we are just getting started. If you like our podcast, please, please, please leave us a review and tell your colleagues. With that, let's jump right in. I'm very excited for our very first guest of episode one of this podcast. We're here today with Jennifer Chamberlain. Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
I am doing well. Trying to shoot this very first episode, which should be interesting. My understanding is this is also your first time being on a podcast.
This is my first time being on a podcast.
Awesome. Well, we will learn together and see how this goes. Why don't we just start with some, basic background information? Why don't you tell our listeners where you're from?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Jennifer Chamberlain, and I am originally from a suburb of Chicago called Gurnee, Illinois. I spent 7 years in central Illinois attending college and law school before moving to Chicago just briefly for about a year and a half, and then I moved out to Denver in 2010.
Awesome. What law school did you go out there in Illinois?
University of Illinois College Law.
Okay. And how was that?
It was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it, despite most people's perception of law school being awful. I really enjoyed law school.
I was actually the same way. Everyone tries to, I think, kind of scare you when you go that it's going to be like the worst experience ever. But I found it, really fun, and I met a lot of really cool people, and I didn't think it was nearly as bad as they kind of made it out to be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I met a lot of great friends in law school that I still have to this day. So I'm very happy I went to University of Illinois and couldn't have asked for a better experience.
Nice, nice. So you were out there in Illinois, and obviously now you're in Colorado. What brought you out here?
That was a result of a bad relationship decision, but we don't need to discuss that. But I'm out here now and married to somebody, so it all worked
it
out.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, a bad relationship decision also played a role in me moving to Colorado. So, whatever gets you here, I suppose.
Yeah, let's hear that story.
That's for another episode. That's right, definitely right. For another episode. So I guess just kind of start here with the big picture perspective. What made you want to be a lawyer?
I don't think I had a place in time where I was like, I want to be a lawyer. I don't look back and say, this is the moment I decided I wanted to practice law. It kind of was a series of events that led me into being a lawyer. The first was deciding to major in not the most practical field. So I majored in psychology, minored in philosophy, and didn't know where to go from there.
Hey, I'm a poli-sci and American studies. So, you got to love those liberal arts degrees that may not be the most useful in the real world.
Yeah. So my senior year of college, I kind of decided that I probably needed to go to grad school to do anything with my undergrad degree.
Sure.
And with my philosophy background, the LSAT seemed like the easiest of the grad school exams.
Fair.
Yeah, so then I ended up in law school, obviously, and started figuring out what lawyers do. And my family would probably say that I started lawyering when I could start, basically when I started speaking.
Yeah.
So it just took me a little longer to come to the same conclusion, but I got there.
You were known to argue a little bit as a child?
I would say yes, and maybe as an adult also.
Sure. Was there a particular field, I guess, when you went to law school that you were interested in, or you just kind of went there and figured it out as you go?
There was not a particular field I was necessarily interested in. I definitely became interested in personal injury for a reason, although that was not the field that I necessarily knew I was going to go into when I entered law school.
Sure. Well, I guess that's a great segue to talk a little bit about your practice. Where do you practice?
I have my own firm. It's Bowman & Chamberlain LLC, and I started that with my partner, Jerry Bowman, almost 8 years ago now.
Wow. 8 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We're coming up on four, and so it's been an experience. But for eight to still be out there and doing well, that's really awesome.
Yeah, it's been quite a ride. I will say that much.
Sure. I definitely know that feeling. And so I know we've discussed this, I think, a little bit, but what is your primary practice area?
My primary practice area, and actually my only practice area, is plaintiff's personal injury.
And is that true just for you or for your entire firm?
For my entire firm.
Okay. And for those listening that may not know a ton about personal injury, what types of, I guess, sub-practice areas, if you will, within personal injury do you practice?
Most of our caseload is car accident cases, but I will say there's quite a variety of different types of cases, anything from dog bites to slip and falls to, batteries exploding in people's pockets to, broken glass and products. So there's quite a variety.
Yeah, it's super interesting. We'll come back in a little bit and talk a little bit more about personal injury law. But I do want to ask you a few questions about why you decided to start your own law firm and maybe explore a little bit the journey that led you to that decision.
Yeah, that's a complicated question.
Sure.
The reason that my partner and I started our own law firm was because we were practicing for a firm at the time for less than 6 months that was wanting us to practice law in a way that we weren't really comfortable practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
And, I won't go into that story either, but, it was a really toxic work environment. And we wanted to be able to represent our clients in a way that we felt was honorable and that we could go home at night and sleep and feel good about ourselves.
So you did work for a firm, I guess, prior to opening up your own firm. Were you always focused on personal injury since you left law school, or did you dabble with any other practice areas?
Yeah, for the most part, it's been just personal injury. I graduated in 2009, which was about the best time to graduate law.
Right in the middle of that recession,
Yeah.
I'm sure it was super easy to find jobs.
Yeah, it was great. So I did kind of dabble in general, just general practice for about a year before moving out here, and then I had to take the bar exam out here again. And then as soon as I got licensed out here, I was practicing personal injury.
Very cool. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about being a personal injury lawyer. Obviously, I'm fairly familiar doing the same type of work, but I know a lot of our listeners are going to be in a variety of practice areas. So what is it like being a personal injury lawyer?
It is never dull. There's never a dull day. It can be stressful, just like probably any area of law. But I really enjoy it because I get to help people every day. And as much as sometimes, the little things can be difficult, there are a lot of difficulties in any area of law. I mean, it's an adversarial system that we practice in, and so obviously there are difficulties. But the ability to help people who come to me in a time of need when they've been through something really difficult in their lives, they've lost their health, they've lost, sometimes their jobs, sometimes their houses, sometimes their families, their friends, their support systems, their lives. To be able to help those people get through that time, there's just I get a lot of enjoyment out of that, and I really think that it's a good area.
And I think for a lot of people, and I hear this all the time when they hear I'm a personal injury attorney, they automatically think of some of the TV ads and billboards. Not that there's anything wrong with advertising, but I think that a lot of people think that it's all just kind of a gimmick and that people are, exploiting a situation to get a bunch of money that they may or may not deserve. Do you agree with that? Has that been your experience with the people that you represent?
No, not at all. I think most personal injury attorneys, despite, you know, the reputation, are genuinely good people who want to make a difference in the world and in the lives of the people they represent. So we do get calls, obviously, where I don't believe that a case has merit and we don't take those cases. I think despite popular public perception of plaintiffs' personal injury law, plaintiffs' attorneys in general are not taking cases that they don't believe have merit because they're expensive and they're time consuming and they're emotional. And to take a case that you don't believe in, you have to be a special type of person to do that. So I don't think that is the typical personal injury attorney. I think the typical personal injury attorney is somebody who really enjoys helping people.
And what about, I guess, kind of the impact from personal injury litigation and kind of the larger public? You know, there's been, at least in my experience, there's been a lot of law changes or changes that corporations have made to create safer products kind of because of personal injury litigation. What role, I guess, do you see yourself playing in kind of creating a safer public or a safer environment kind of for all of us out there?
Yeah, I think that plaintiffs' personal injury attorneys play a huge role in making sure that things are safer. I would say I'm not at the point in my career yet where I'm making a huge difference in terms of changing corporate culture, but I hope to get there at some point. And I think that a lot of personal injury attorneys really have that opportunity and have that platform to make sure that everybody's lives are safer, that, you know, companies are held accountable for things. There's so many different safety laws in place that were not in place prior to a personal injury attorney taking someone's case and making sure that other people weren't injured in the same manner.
Yeah, and I think, for our listeners, one of the more famous ones would have been the seatbelt in the car. That was really kind of the result of Ralph Nader leading a bunch of personal injury attorneys who basically kept suing these car manufacturers over and over and over again, saying, look, you know, you guys need to be providing seatbelts, and failing to do so is really unreasonable. And, you know, you should be held liable when people are injured in these crashes because you're not giving them the opportunity to be safe. And, you know, today we take for granted that every car has a seatbelt, every state has a seatbelt law, and it's saved, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of lives. And I think you can really trace that back to some personal injury attorneys who kind of battled Goliath, if you will, and kind of kept hitting them in their pocketbook until they changed. Can you give us a little bit more information on kind of what the day-to-day practice of personal injury? I mean, some of our listeners may do litigation, some may be transactional attorneys, and so don't really have that kind of info. But what is a kind of a day-to-day kind of look like for you in your practice?
Yeah, that's one of the, I think, fun parts about being a plaintiff's personal injury attorney. You know, every day is very different. Yesterday I was in mediation all day. Today I'm doing this podcast. I meet with clients, I meet with witnesses, I investigate facts, depositions, you know, some days I'm in court. It varies so much. Some days I'm in the office doing research and writing and pouring through lots and lots and lots of documents, but every day is different. And that, I think, is a really fun part of the practice.
Sure. And obviously you're one of the owners of the law firm. How does that kind of impact your day-to-day role versus maybe an attorney that just kind of works in your firm? Are you, doing a lot of admin, a lot of marketing, that kind of stuff? Or tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I will say that that's probably more challenging than my attorney job, just running a law firm. You know, as we've grown, it's become more and more difficult to sort of juggle my time because managing a law firm, it is a full-time job in itself. There is a lot of admin involved in that, a lot of you know, numbers and accounting and things that lawyers aren't trained to do. So I do feel that running a law firm is kind of a different beast than practicing. And, you know, both are interesting and keep me very busy.
Yeah. And I had that same experience too. How did you kind of learn those skills necessary to kind of run a law firm? Did you have some mentors? Were there books? Was it kind of a trial and error? I know for me, it was kind of a combination of all three and a lot of phone calls such as, you know, how do I pay taxes and where do I buy workers' comp insurance and all of these things that they don't really teach you in law school.
No, they definitely don't teach you any business management in law school, unfortunately. Maybe they do now, but they didn't when I was there. I would say it was mostly trial and error and a lot of Google. I don't know what I would have done if I had tried to set up a business prior to the internet, because it was just a lot of being resourceful and sort of figuring out how to do things. I didn't really know a lot of attorneys who had their own practice, and I did have a lot of help from people that I met, but mostly just trial and error.
How important is it, I guess, for young attorneys, and this can be about, you know, the starting of your business or more on the actual practice of law, how important is it for young attorneys to have mentors and people that they can kind of reach out to during those, you know, first handful of years of practice to get advice about whether it's, you know, running a firm or personal injury law or anything else, really?
I think it's extremely important that young people have mentors, and I think it's extremely important that people who have the ability to mentor young people do so. I think it's really important for both mentors and mentorees, and getting involved when you're young and finding those mentors and finding the people who can help you out, it really, if you don't do it when you're young and you miss out on those opportunities, you're not necessarily going to get them as you kind of grow into your career. So I think it's super important. And I don't know what I would have done without the support of the legal community in Colorado, because I didn't have a job that really taught me how to practice law prior to starting my own firm. So I was trying to learn to practice law and trying to learn how to run a business. And I didn't have a boss to teach me that, obviously, you know, having my own firm. So being able to reach out to people in the legal community and specifically within Colorado Trial Lawyers Association was really, really important and valuable for me. And I would suggest that any young attorney who is new to practicing law find their organization where they can find those mentors.
Well, and that's actually a great segue. I did want to talk a little bit about CTLA, the Colorado Trial Lawyers Association. For those who are listening who are not plaintiff's attorneys, can you tell us a little bit about what CTLA is and kind of what it does?
Yeah, CTLA is Colorado Trial Lawyers Association, and I believe it is Colorado's largest specialty bar, and I think there are about 1,300 members. The members are usually representing consumers and citizens of Colorado who have been injured by someone else's negligence. CTLA also has they do a lot legislatively to try to make sure that laws are passed that benefit the citizens and consumers of Colorado.
Sure. And was CTLA an organization that you kind of joined soon after moving to Colorado? And what role did that organization have on you, I guess, in those first few years of practice as a young lawyer?
Yeah, I joined CTLA shortly after being licensed in Colorado. And I would say it's probably had the biggest impact on my career of anything that I've done connected to the practice of law. And the reason for that is because without having that community available to me and without having the continuing legal education opportunities, I don't think that I would have been able to figure out, you know, how to practice law without that. I just think it was necessary. for me to have that. And if you do go into practice, you know, for yourself relatively quickly after graduating law school, if you think you know it all, you don't. So yeah. Just start over from there. You don't know it all. And there's a lot to learn. And I'm still learning things every day, which is awesome. But early on in your career, there's just so much to learn. And CTLA provided that legal education for me that was sort of particular to my field rather than, you know, general practice, which is kind of what law school prepares you for.
Yeah, and I would have to second that wholeheartedly. You know, I was actually just talking with my partner the other day. We were reminiscing about that first year of practice, and I was like, you know, man, it's insane how much we didn't know that we didn't know.
Oh, yes.
You know, and we thought, we're like, you know, we've taken torts. I've done some mock trial. You know, I understand all of this stuff. And then you get into the actual practice of law, and it's just a whole different world. And I would agree that CTLA was such a great resource, from the listserv to the CLEs, and, you know, the different things that they offer. And I know for our listeners, you know, if you're not a plaintiff's attorney, you know, CTLA may not be the specialty organization for you, but, you know, the bar, CBA, has a ton of different kind of subsections for a bunch of different practice areas. There's a bunch of other specialty bars that are out there. Would you recommend that young lawyers kind of get involved in a specialty bar or a section of CBA pretty much as quickly as possible?
Yes, as quickly as possible. I would say that it is one of the best things you can do for your career.
And as a young lawyer, did you find that there were opportunities for you to, I guess, kind of get involved in the organization and either participate in either a leadership role or a subcommittee or, I guess, be more than just a listener, I guess, if you will, in the organization?
Yes, definitely. It was actually, you know, the first year I joined, I was, you know, kind of quiet and just wanted to learn and kind of take everything in. But once I started getting to know people, very quickly I had opportunities to, you know, be part of the organization and make change and do all sorts of neat things. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of opportunities for leadership and to become involved very quickly.
What kind of is your role in CTLA today? Are you active in any of the kind of subcommittees or different groups that it has? And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am a member of the board of directors. I'm also co-chair of the WTLN, which is the Women Trial Lawyers Network, and that has about 250 women members. I'm also on the legislative committee, the EGO committee, and the diversity committee. So
nice.
Pretty involved.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Women's Trial Lawyers Network, WTLN. That's something that I don't know a ton about, and I find it interesting. Why was it formed, and kind of what is its mission or goal, I guess, if you will?
Yeah, WTLN has been around for longer than I've been in CTLA, but, you know, I definitely, along with some other really awesome women, have helped build it up so that it's much more active. And the primary goal really is to promote women into leadership roles within CTLA and within their communities and within their law firms. And the reason that we think that that is so important is because the law firms, the community, CTLA, all these places and all these different entities are really, they're making law, they're deciding processes, they're doing all sorts of things that if women don't have a hand in the leadership, then women's interests are really being left out. So whether that's legislatively, whether that's law firm management, so our goal is to promote women within leadership roles wherever they are so that women also have a voice in those roles.
And, you know, obviously it can be intimidating for young lawyers, you know, joining any organization or trying to participate, you know, and I think that's just kind of the stigma for being a young person. Has your experience as both a young lawyer and a female lawyer, has that been, I guess, especially difficult? And have organizations or committees like WTL and provided, I guess, support or advice or things about that to kind of get you over that hump, I guess, if you will?
Yes, 100%. I think that the WTLN community is just absolutely amazing. It's filled with really, really wonderful women who have done amazing things in their careers, in their lives, in the world. It's filled with women who are just starting their practice. It's filled with women from all walks of life, and everybody supports each other. I think there are a lot of challenges with being a young female attorney in whatever practice that you are in. And I think in personal injury, plaintiff's personal injury in particular, there are some challenges. And one of the biggest challenges is that there's only about 15% women practicing plaintiff's personal injury. So to have that community of other women who kind of understand the difficulties in breaking in and making a name for yourself, it's just been wonderful, and I couldn't ask for better colleagues in WTLN.
Wow, only 15%. That was a statistic I was not aware of.
Yeah,
that
very
is,
low.
I guess, not. It's disappointing, but probably not super shocking. In you know the handful of years that you've kind of been practicing, have you seen it getting better for kind of female lawyers or young female lawyers in particular? Is it about the same? Or what are kind of your thoughts on that?
I do think it is getting better. I think that the more women help each other, the better it gets. And I see such great collaboration amongst WTLN members. So that collaboration has been really helpful over the years. I think it's a field that is difficult if you are the primary caretaker of a family. And I don't have children, so I have a husband, but I don't have children, so I don't have to go home and take care of anybody. But it is a demanding field, and often you don't have a whole lot of control over your schedule, especially early on. So there are some unique challenges that women face in the profession.
I'd like to kind of talk about just kind of being a young lawyer and kind of what that looks like. So you've been in practice about 10 years. What do you know now that you wish you could go back and tell 10 years ago, Jennifer, as she was graduating law school? What advice would you give to your past self?
I would probably tell myself that mistakes are part of the process. I think that when I graduated law school, I was pretty hard on myself. And I think a lot of attorneys have the same problem I have, and that's you don't really like to fail. You know, you've been successful for most of your life. You've managed to get through law school, pass the bar, et cetera. And then you just make a lot of mistakes. And it's really hard. And you can be really hard on yourself. So I wish that I would have just recognized that mistakes are part of the process and embraced them more for the learning opportunities that they are.
Any advice to young lawyers? So I think that you're absolutely right. You know, knowing that you're going to make mistakes and it's okay. Obviously, you try to limit them to the extent you can, but there are going to be times where you make a mistake. Any advice to young lawyers about how to deal with them, or you know, how to let them go, or use them as a learning experience? Any advice for them?
Yeah, I think you know, if you go into work each day and you act ethically and professionally, most mistakes are going to be relatively harmless over time. I would say just stay on the right path. Make sure that everything that you're doing feels right, and people will be willing to help you get through any mistakes you make. You just have to, you know, learn from your mistakes and hopefully not make them again. And usually you don't make them again. So,
and of course, making mistakes is part of learning. But so is, having success. And What would you say, if you had to say what your biggest success as a lawyer has been? It could be a case, could be some other type of accomplishment, anything on your career that you look back on and you say, you know, I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, I would say probably WTLN is what I'm proud of. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to my co-chairs, Alana Anzalone and Christina Hagen and Amanda Francis have all really been instrumental in helping with that organization. But that's probably what I feel proudest of, is just kind of the increased activity that we've managed to create since we all kind of got involved with that.
Well, thank you so much for being our very first guest on the podcast, Jennifer. It was wonderful having you. I think we both survived our first time on a podcast, which is awesome. For our listeners who may want more information about any of the things we've talked about, personal injury practice, CTLA, WTLN, or maybe just some advice about being a young lawyer or a young female lawyer, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, thank you for having me. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, they can reach out to me at my email, which is chamberlain@copihelp.com. Or my office line is 720-863-6904. And the website is www.coloradopersonalinjuryhelp.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, Jennifer.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Get legal with it.